Yep.
My name is Michael Manty, I'm the chairperson of today's meeting. The other panel members are, on my left, Grant Christmas, on my right, my far right, Jason Perica, on my immediate right, Ulla.
Ulla Wendland.
Ulla is a community representative. Jason, myself and Grant are appointed members. Jason and Grant are expert panel members appointed by the council and I'm chairperson appointed by the minister. We will determine the applications that are on the agenda today either by refusal, approval or deferral in exceptional circumstances. We've seen the site, your site. We've also read the council officer's report, which I assume you have also read.
Yes. Yeah.
The meeting's being recorded, so just be mindful of that when you're presenting to us. The panel minutes will be publicly available on the council's website by close of business tomorrow, and the notices of determination will be sent out by council officers in due course after tomorrow's meeting. So before I ask you to come to the lectern, are there any declarations of interest?
No.
From panel members?
No.
No declarations of interest, and I don't have any declarations of interest either. Mr. Evans, we'd like to come to the microphone. So this is item one. For the record, this is item one, which is Torrens Title subdivision of two existing lots into four lots over two stages at 167 and 175 Fifth Avenue, Austral. The council officer's recommendation is for refusal. Mr. Evans, you're here on behalf of the applicant. Would you like to address the panel?
Yes, I would, Chair. And thank you. Good afternoon, Chair, and panel members and council officers. So I'd just like to, address the key issues and the key intent of what we're trying to achieve through this development application that's before you. The application is to create four super lots and the demolition of two existing dwellings on the site, which you would have seen today, no doubt. That's in two stages. Now, the reason to have it in two stages is because there is an intent to develop the lots, the super lots to the rear of the property. A battle axe leg has been allowed that meets the DCP requirements to enable access to that arrangement, which has been typical of many residential subdivision developments throughout the Austral precinct. This application is a procedural subdivision application. We're certainly not proposing to do any residential development. And this type of application is something that certainly not uncommon throughout the growth areas, and certainly we've been involved in quite a few. In terms of the residential density, that's been raised as an issue in the report. Residential density is obviously going to be considered where residential development is proposed. Again, just to reiterate, this is a procedural subdivision creating super lots. So super lots is a lot that would be further subdivided, as is recognised in the Western Sydney direction, where it talks about super lots, which would be excluded from being considered as part of an NDA calculation, as it's not immediate residential development. There are a number of examples that we're aware of that we've had this type of subdivision. There's also an example in Austral, and I looked up the delegate's report, planning report, where they were creating a large lot in a residential area, and in the delegate's report for the Liverpool Council, the report noted that for residential density, no residential allotments proposed at this stage, and therefore was not applicable. So I feel that that's the intent that we're proposing this time. We're proposing lots to be subdivided at a later date. In relation to the Sydney Regional Environmental Plan number 20, that's a something that we consider in all our applications. In this one, just given the level of, it's just really a paper subdivision, that particular instruments there to manage water quality quantity, water quantity, environmental management during construction, soil and erosion controls and protecting native flora and fauna. Noting that the site is actually biocertified, but there's really nothing in this application that certainly would be inconsistent with that particular policy. We were never asked to submit any information in response to that policy, but there was certainly no non-compliances with what we're proposing, and Sydney Regional Environmental Plan number 20. In relation to the remediation of land issue, again, we never was requested to submit any information during the application that's been with council under assessment for over a year now. We did submit some wastewater reports that related to the on-site septic systems that serve both respective properties. Both those reports determined that the septic tanks or systems could still operate within the proposed lots. Really, the site is largely undisturbed. It still contains a lot of native vegetation on it, except for this house and the immediate surrounds. And these properties have just been predominantly used for residential purposes for that's their historic use. I guess in the event that there needed to be a hazardous building assessment of the dwellings, that could certainly, in our view, be handled as a condition of consent. So I think with all those things, those key things considered, there certainly is a way forward to support this proposal. It's certainly not inconsistent with we don't believe it's inconsistent with any of the numeric values in the SEP or the DCP. There will be these super lots need to go through a very comprehensive assessment process for all the typical things that you would do through land development, incorporating contamination, Aboriginal heritage, on-site stormwater management, and all those things that we would typically do as part of a consideration of a detailed urban planning and design exercise for those super lots. I think that the other key point in all this is that we've actually given thought to how this would actually fit in with the ILP. Mm-hmm. The Badlands League aligns with the ILP road, and there is nothing to say that this particular super lot subdivision would prejudice the outcome, or that's something different to what's shown in the ILP. So I think it's very easily to develop both the stage one and stage two parcels in accordance with the ILP, which may use the an interim solution for access for the northern portion as a temporary road, which is something that has been used within the precinct to enable access as an interim measure. There was a couple of other things in terms of the demolition statement. We haven't submitted a demolition statement, but again, that's really something that's a fairly straightforward document in our experience for demolishing a dwelling. I believe that's something that could also be required as a condition of consent. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll wrap things up there. Thank you for the opportunity to address the panel. I'm not sure if there's a question.
There may be. Questions from the panel?
I'm struggling, I suppose, bearing in mind what the council officers have said in their report about the issue about the clause 4.6. Now, I understand your argument, I suppose, but why is it that even if you did it on without prejudice basis, did the applicant choose not to submit a clause 4.6? Because at the moment, on our view of it and the opinion before the council officers is that we have no power without a clause 4.6 request to determine this application. So we're obviously going to have to consider that further, but that's the difficulty we face. And even if you were of the view that, you know, you don't need one, you still could have gone with it. It doesn't take that much to draft a clause, clause 4.6.
Well, look, there's a couple of aspects to that. I guess fundamentally we don't, you know, and I appreciate you appreciate our arguments, but it's, you know, I guess the variations to vary for where you're doing residential development. And I guess the feeling is we're not proposing residential development. If anything, we're trying to create land that these transitional lots that will, you know, once this procedural process has been finalised, we can then go and then look at you know, the planning and doing residential development in accordance with the zone and all the set provisions. The other aspect to it is that we were verbally told it wouldn't be supported.
Further questions?
Just, you mentioned there were a couple of examples similar to this one being in Austral. Can you give us any more details on
that? Oh yeah, the DA reference for that one was 438 of 2017.
438.
And there are two applications in the growth areas where this has been achieved. There's DA 1095,
yeah,
2017 in Camden Council. And another one is 1254,
yeah,
2017, also in Camden Council.
Thank you.
And that, in both those circumstances, the consideration of residential density was meeting the residential density targets wasn't a consideration. It was more reconfiguring land to then enable development.
Sorry, I'm going to ask you another question. So the relevant definition is residential development, as I understand it. That's
the expression.
The term used in clause 4.1b.
Yeah.
Now, as I understand it, there will, albeit temporary, there's still a retention of the existing dwellings on the site. So why do you say that that's not residential development, or the application doesn't propose residential development?
Well, it's proposing four super lots. I think that
that is what it's proposing, but it's also proposing the retention of the existing dwellings, is it not? They will be ultimately demolished, but in the interim, the development includes the retention of those existing dwellings. That's the bit that I struggle with.
Yeah.
From my point of view, that's residential development, and that's where I struggle with your argument. But
okay,
we'll have a look at that further.
I've got another proposition to put to you. Residential development as an expression isn't defined, you're right. It's not defined in the dictionary, at least, in any of the instruments I've seen, but it's it can be defined, on one view, it can be defined by its context, the way it's used in other clauses in the set. And it's used in clause 4.1AB, that expression. It's used quite extensively in that clause, and that clause applies to minimum lot sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So, on one view, residential development as a term is subdivision.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you're putting a building on it or you're intending to put a building on it in the short term, if you're creating a lot for the purposes of a subdivision down the track of it, creating a lot for the purpose of residential development down the track, then subdivision is residential development. And these lots are being created for the purpose of residential development, just not immediately.
Yeah. I believe the clause in the residential density clause refers to another clause that outlines what is residential development and lists a number of different types of residential development, that being from a dwelling, residential flat building.
You might be thinking about the expression residential accommodation. That expression is defined in the standard instrument as all types of dwellings, attached, detached, residential flat building. But that's not what we're talking about here in in this clause, 4.1AB, we're talking about residential development, mm-hmm. not accommodation. So it has a different meaning yeah. to residential accommodation, and I think, well,
it would have been more helpful if they had actually used the term residential accommodation.
Yeah, it would have been helpful. It would have been helpful to us if they had actually defined what residential development meant. But just looking at the way it's used in other clauses, it seems like it includes subdivision that is intended for future residential development. That's one view.
Yeah.
And now, if the council officers are right, then about that being a development standard, we don't have any power to even look at the merits. So I think that's why maybe the council officers haven't really given your client the opportunity to provide additional information on those other things, such as contamination and REP 20 and those sorts of things. So perhaps that's why they haven't gone that far. But,
I think with respect, I think you know that sort of stuff should really come out. All those things should come out at that first RF request for information stage.
Ideally, yeah. But it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But if the council officers are right, then we've got no power. It would have been you know, in your client's interest to just as an insurance to lodge a 4.6. I would have thought even. Even if you didn't really believe that it was needed, because if the council officers are right, then it stops there. We haven't got any power to look at the merits. You know, hear what you say about being consistent with the indicative lot plan, but I know the council officers say that it's not. Well, it's not. The land engineering department says that the proposed subdivision layout does not align with the future DCP road layout. Is that right? Or?
You're saying that?
Is that the... I haven't seen that, no.
Okay. The road layout plan, I think it's the road layout structure.
So okay.
Basically, existing subdivisions have to be on the place.
Cool.
Yes. So that, I mean, that's the sort of thing we'd be interested in if we got over the first hurdle of the panel having the power to actually look at the merits of the application. But that's really a threshold issue, as you'd appreciate the lack of it.
Is it considered that it requires a clause point about 4.6?
Well, we haven't made up the panel hasn't made up its mind yet, but the council officers say it is.
Yeah.
Did you seek another opinion on that? I thought I'd read something about DPE or your approach to DPE, or the council wasn't clear on that.
I didn't see, I'm not seeing anything in writing from the DPE. I think it was just...
But you know, stage one is the front lot and there's two superlots. So stage one is a lot, the front lot at the back, is that right?
Stage one is the two lots at the north.
Right. So... So the plan on page 6 of the report that has stage 1 being this rear lot and that being, how many lots will there be at the end of stage 1?
There will be two lots within stage 1.
Yep.
And then there, as an interim there will be the residual lot from that, which is two residual lots.
So just paint a word picture for me, how many lots there are. I'll give point a plan, hold up a plan and show me what stage one subdivision lots are. Yeah, that's the same plan. So look, how many lots are there at the end of stage one?
In total, there are 4, 1, 2, 3.
Stage one.
Plus stage one, those two.
Well, plus residue, which would be the third, which would be re-subdivided in stage two.
So this is your occupancy creating at stage one, eh?
There's two residue lots.
So there's no staging, there's 4 lots at stage one.
Stage two is demolition, isn't it?
Stage two is a demolition.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, so staging and subdivision is just 1, 4 lot subdivision, stage one and stage two is just demolition.
They are two residue lots, and then when you go to do stage two...
So why are they residual lots when you're creating those 4 at stage one? So stage one is 4 lots. Is that right or not?
It would result in 4 lots.
And stage two is demolition, so there's no staging and subdivision at all.
No,
Oh, I'm just asking you, you're the applicant.
Yeah.
What's your proposal for subdivision? One or two stages of subdivision?
It's stage one, resolving the ground support.
Right.
And I take it one.
And then what's stage two, demolition?
Stage two is demolition.
Right, okay. I just wanted to tease out, well, I just wasn't sure what was happening in those funky lots of the dwellings, whether it was two dwellings and then one lot at the back that gets subdivided at stage two, or two lots at the back, so, okay.
Any other questions? Okay, Mr. Evans, thanks very much.
Thank you.
So I'll call the second item. Second item is a boundary adjustment and stratum subdivision at 350 to 360 Macquarie Street, Liverpool. Council officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. We don't have anyone in the audience that's listed to speak to us, but if there's, I believe there's a council officer here. Is there a council officer here wishing to answer questions?
So we have a council's property manager if there's any questions.
Okay. So you want to come to the
microphone
and tell us what your name is?
John Morgan.
John Morgan.
Director of Property and Commercial Development.
You're just here to answer questions?
Mm-hmm.
I assume. Is there, are there questions?
No.
I've got a question. Can you just explain to us what the, in general terms, what the plan for the airspace is that's being strata off?
Well, you haven't, the deal that was done was with regards to creating the road, getting the strip road through from Macquarie through to Terminus. And the airspace was actually part of the negotiation with the adjoining owner. They hung on to that as far as the previously approved DA to the south, which I think was approved in June this year.
Okay.
So yeah, and from the thinking was that from a council perspective was always for a road consideration, so there was no need, we needed anything over RL 40, I think it was 46, which I think we sold off the parcel of land, the airspace.
So was the former owner of this land the current owner of the adjoining land, the one that's on the development site? Because at one stage, they were all part of the
correct
one development site, two lots.
It was the whole parcel all the way through between, it's almost from the intersection with Macquarie and Terminus right up to the Waterboard building. It was one owner.
Yeah.
And council went in and negotiated with the owner and purchased that land to enable the extension of what is Bathurst Street.
Yeah.
The deal involved buying the freehold, excluding the stratum above 46.
Yeah, okay. Any other questions arising out there? Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The third item on today's agenda is a development application for temporary use and approval for a one-off council event at Greenway Park, known as Liverpool on a Roll. The council officer's recommendation is for approval subject to conditions. Don't have anyone on my list to speak and can't see anyone here in the audience that looks like they want to speak, so I'll move on and declare the meeting closed now. That being the last agenda item, the panel will now adjourn and discuss our minutes. Thank you very much.